back here. The morning show, Mountain Home Radio. Had to get some stuff finished up here. Learned
all kinds of stuff.
Before we get on the air. It's just... It is amazing.
No comment.
How much conversation you can fit into that little 2-minute break that we have right there. Great stuff going on behind the scenes, but now we need to be in front of the microphones, and it's a good thing we've got Tommy and Seal here in the studio with us this morning.
I'm not sure if that brings the chaos to a normal level or if it takes it to a higher level with Tommy around.
We sure have fun. We have a good time.
We have a great time. And it is – somebody asked me the other day – what I try to do with the morning show, and first and foremost, I want to put a smile on somebody's face. So if somebody out there listening has a smile on their face after listening to the show, whether they're laughing at us or with us, to me doesn't really matter. They're still laughing.
Yeah,
so they've had a laugh to start the day, and I think we need a lot more humor in the world today.
Definitely.
And a lot less sensitive people.
I agree. I mean, I know there was a lot of smiles all over Marshall last night.
A lot of smiles, I guess. Homecoming night down there, you had the privilege of getting down there for the game. So.
Well, it was actually senior night, same thing.
They're both a celebration. Yes, they're both a celebration, and I got those two.
But, it was senior night, and they recognized seven seniors down there, and proud moms and dads out there with them. And, it was just a great night.
Always a good time.
I mean, it was even better for Yellville Summit. They won all three matches.
They won the three matches. So we need to switch our gears
yes.
and talk to Tommy and Seal. It is... Time to dig. Time to dig, time to clean things up, time to trim. There is a lot of stuff that goes on. We talked in the spring about how many different things you could do, but the fall, you're just as busy in your yard trying to get things cleaned up and ready for the next season.
That's a great time to plant. We talked about this last month about buying the things that are on sale in all the garden centers right now.
Yes.
And it's a great time to plant. We're having good, steady rain every few days, which makes it that much easier for yourself. And great time to split some of your perennials, and a good time to pull your weeds. You're a little bit past time to spray them with a Roundup or something. All right, it's not going to take. You're going to be wasting your time and your money right now because they're already in fall mode. But go out there and pull them weeds now, and be one less you got to pull next spring.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And if you haven't mulched, go out there and mulch and get it done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of people right now that have stopped on by those big box stores and they've gotten their Christmas decorations, whether it's the poinsettias or the marigolds or whatever. It is a they are not a no maintenance plant. There is some care that needs to be taken for those things you do pick up for the season.
Oh, absolutely. You still have to make sure that you're fertilizing, that you're watering this time of year for the new stuff you put in. Don't fertilize anything in the garden that's already established.
Okay.
You don't want to do that because you don't want to encourage growth this time of year. You want to let the plants go to sleep for the winter.
Right.
So you don't want to do that. But absolutely, it's a time to take stock in your garden, take inventory, what worked, what didn't work, all that good stuff. And revitalize your pots. Just because it's fall and going into winter doesn't mean that you can't do something. You know, you can put some kale in there. It'll last till spring. I wouldn't recommend keeping it past much in spring because it has a distinct aroma about that time of year.
I just don't know that my goal would ever be to grow kale voluntarily.
Well, there are ornamental kales that are quite attractive.
Beautiful.
White centers and purple centers, those kind of things.
I've got some of those. Those are actually are very, very pretty. And there's a lot of fall stuff. I mean, pansies, there's a lot of things you can do to give... I like color. I just have to have color in our yard, and that's one of the things we do. And right now, if you're a mum guy, the mums are just putting on a show that's unbelievable. And that is, a lot of folks just take mums and throw those things away. Don't do that. Put them in the ground.
Yes.
Take a little bit of care of them. They're not perfect at coming back, but they're real, real good. And I've got a real pretty bed that's golden or yellow mums. And anyway, kind of as you drive in our driveway, that's the first thing you see, and it kind of... It's a sparkle and makes you feel good, like you said.
Well, and I have seen all kinds of new colors of mums this year. I've seen a really different color of purple this year, almost a lavenderish purple. Okay. And I saw sort of a decorative dark red that I had not seen in the past. This was over in the Springdale Rogers area at a big box store over there. But they're beautiful flowers up there to add just a little splash of color in the fall.
I have some red and white ones out in my front yard in honor of the Razorbacks, and they're doing about as well as the Razorbacks.
Oh!
So, but anyway, that's another story for another day.
So they're on strike.
They're on strike. Yeah, they are. But yellow ones look great. Red and white.
If they're using the Razorbacks for an example, they have yet to appear this season.
Oh, wow.
This is up. You guys are bad.
Well, you were over there at the Kentucky game, Tommy, so...
I was at the Kentucky game and had a great time at Keeneland, I'll tell you that. Keeneland Racetrack was fun, but anyway.
There is a lot of stuff you can put out there. Just because the colors are changing towards fall does not mean you can't have colors still in your yard.
Amen.
Well, you can also put asters out there, and there are some chrysanthemums that are not the cushion mums you buy in the stores. If you go online, you can find perennials that are more apt to come back reliably. Yep. I just saw one that I was really tempted to order the other day, and I didn't. It was from a place called Plants Delights Nursery, and it's called Matchsticks, and the flowers look like matchsticks, reds and yellows. So really kind of cool.
You saw something in a catalog, and you passed on it.
I did. I'm leaving town another week, and it just, you know, I can't impose on people this time of year. You know, it's one thing to do it in summertime, but when you take people's help all through the year to hick your garden, it's just asking too much.
Gotcha. Well, maybe you can get that ordered when you get back and still
order it for spring is what I'll probably do.
Scott, one of the things we do, we always brag about our meetings and how informative they are, and we had one last month, or this month, I guess. And the lady, Tina Hahn, from the USDA.
She's from the Baxter County Conservation District.
Okay. And that building is located, let me tell you in advance, it's right behind the Farm Bureau building. They are the source of all kinds of information, all kinds. And one of the neat things they have, if you're interested, is Fall Nut Program. And you can go in there and buy cashews, half of pecans,
chocolate-covered,
amaretto-covered. And these things are like $8 or $8.50 a pound.
Yep.
And the order blank has to be in here pretty quick. But that's, again, I was just there yesterday, and sweetest, nicest girl in the world. You can buy trees by the bulk. You can buy all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Just stomp in there. And that's your tax money at work, guys. I mean, it's yours and our money. But she is a source of all kinds of information.
Fantastic. So. And that, once again, what is that?
It's the Baxter County Conservation District. She also works with the federal government with some programs, but absolutely, go talk to her. She knows a lot about gardening. She knows a lot about pastures, trees, nuts, all kinds of things that she offers for sale.
Whatever you want. I mean, they've got, it's a multitude of information.
Well, and like you said, it's people working for us, sort of like the Extension Office is working for us. This is another organization here that just gives us a little bit of help here in the community.
Absolutely.
Amen. Fantastic. We've got all kinds of stuff to get into, including the Flower of the Month, so we'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. But right now, I need to tell everybody out there that you're listening to the morning show here on Mountain Home Radio, brought to you by your friends over at Baxter Regional Medical Center. Make sure you stop on by the website, baxterregional.org. Find out all about the comprehensive services they can provide you and your family. And we are back here, the morning show, Mountain Home Radio. It is Wednesday morning, the middle of the month, and that means I've got the Master Gardeners here in the studio with me. Seal and Tommy are in here and trying to make sure they've got all the pronunciations correct on everything that we've got. So it is so much fun to have these two in the studio. I wish people could see the fun we do have behind the scenes here. But it's time to get to business, and I need to talk about the Flower of the Month.
Well, our plant of the month is this is a tree, as a matter of fact, or a shrub more than a plant. It's called a Coosa dogwood. Tommy, why don't you give us the basics on it?
Coosa is, most everybody in the Mountain Home area has dogwoods or have seen them out in the wild, and they're just a harbinger of spring, and they're fantastic. This one is a little bit different. It's a Coosa. It's small. It's an underling tree. That means it's not necessarily always a specimen. It doesn't like full sun. It's got to have a little bit of dappled shade, I guess you'd say. But it's not one that's high maintenance. It needs medium water, and it's easy to take care of. It's one that's pretty, and it comes out much later, or it blooms later than the typical dogwood tree does. So you'll get comments on it because it does come out later, and it's kind of a reddish color.
It blooms white, just like a dogwood. Okay. When people see it in spring, I was this past year at the artist tour, and a girlfriend of mine and I were walking, and one of the exhibitors had the shrub variety, and she looked at him and says, "What is that?" And I said, "Susan, I've got that in my yard as a tree." And he says, "Well, it's a Coosa dogwood." And she, even a master gardener, wasn't familiar with it. I bought this plant from a master gardener that bought some excess inventory from one of the big box stores.
Okay.
I put it in probably about 6-7 years ago, somewhere in that neighborhood. And for the longest time, it didn't do anything. And I was thinking, what did he sell me? All right. And last year, for the first time, I got a couple blossoms. And they bloom in mid to late May, 1st of June.
Oh, that is late.
Probably lasts about 2 weeks. And this year, the display finally was absolutely amazing.
Fantastic.
You put it on the edge of a forested area. Mm-hmm. It can take some sun. It can take some sunlight. It wouldn't want to be full sun all day, okay, but it's not going to burn up with some sun on it. It can grow in dappled shade or full shade.
Right.
Mine is on the edge of a forested area, and it is probably getting sun about half the day.
Right.
And it's a beautiful tree. It lasts a long time. If you put it up against a forested area, when it blooms, it's got that backdrop on it, and it just sets it off very, very cool.
Okay.
And it gets from 15 to 30 feet,
right,
which is pretty typical.
Yep.
It also gets the typical blossoms or bracts that a dogwood does. And it does get the reddish tones in the fall, just like a dogwood does.
Very cool.
There's a variety of this tree, though, that is variegated called wolf eyes. It's a more petite version, about half the size, about 10 to 15 feet. And you've got the variegated foliage to set off the area for the whole year. And it does everything this does, a little smaller, all right. Unfortunately, the deers like dogwoods, all right.
Yes.
So it's something that you're going to want to have to spray with some deer repellent until it gets to be of substantial size where it's not an issue.
Right.
I have another variety of variegated dogwood that they pruned a couple times early on. And it gave it kind of a Charlie Brown shape, but frankly, it doesn't matter. It's up against that backdrop of all the other trees, and it still sets it off pretty, and it looks pretty oriental with the branches just going here and there. So, interesting thing, and it's something to give you a good color in a shady area at a time when your ephemerals and all those things are kind of going to sleep. So.
Right, okay.
A Charlie Brown shape sounds like some of the plants I have in my yard. I'd never heard that expression before,
didn't
but I love it.
She seemed like Christmas tree from last year.
That's what I'm thinking. She's been to my yard looking around again. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, fun.
Well, we know better than that with your yard. I'm sure that you've been working hard out there. The deer don't like the dogwoods quite as much as the hostas. So
they love my hostas. I told you, cotton candy for deer is hostas. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yes.
They like sweet peppers as well, trust me.
Yeah, they... And that is something that you've got to be aware of. And it's funny because even if you live in the city, we have a son that lives in Norwalk, Connecticut. And we're sitting there drinking coffee about a month ago and look up and there's three deer out in this guy's back, my son's backyard. And this is in the middle of a metropolitan area, 50 miles from New York City. And I'm thinking, these guys are everywhere. They're everywhere.
But they're
hungry just like everybody
else.
They
heard you were on vacation. I thought you might have had hostas in your pocket.
They follow me, but anyway.
Well, I had one sitting in the yard. I come home about 8:30, 9 o'clock the other evening. And I had a deer bedded down right in front of my house. Right in front
asleep
of the house.
Lay down.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and now, since we went through really quickly, what can we do if we do have deer that are getting into our gardens, maybe our vegetable garden or anything we're trying to grow?
Vegetable garden fence.
Okay.
Yep.
I'd fence it.
Yeah, I know better than that.
Plain and simple. That's the only way to handle a vegetable garden. You don't have to worry about what you're spraying and if you can eat it or any of that other kind of stuff. Just make it so it's easily accessible for yourself.
Okay.
A nice opening that you can get in and out, that you can still get stuff in and out.
Right.
All right?
One of my neighbors has a 12-foot fence around their garden, and I watch the deer jump over that regularly.
Did you?
Yes,
on
a regular basis. Yeah, they are up over the top of that on a regular basis inside the garden. And it is so funny because... It is literally halfway from my house to the pavement, so I live off on a dirt road. And yeah, they are in there almost constantly. It
Those
is hilarious.
Deer on 14 South has springs in their legs.
I'm not so sure they don't do something else to get themselves launched in there. But I have seen them get a nice little running start and clear that fence and land inside there and just.
Well, the thing about them jumping over anything is. I guess you get a double barrier. If they don't think that they have a place to land on the other side with enough room, so if you have a narrow garden or have two obstacles a few feet apart, or if your first layer is just nothing but some fish line or something of that nature that they bump into, if they don't see it and they bump into it, it's going to put them off.
Gotcha.
So those are all kinds of ways you can do it. Bells and whistles and all that kind of stuff, it works until they get used to it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
Sprays, all the deer repellents work for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I would recommend you use them, but I recommend you switch them out All right. Yep. Switch them out and listen. Read the package directions as you do with anything you put in your garden.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Definitely. And when they tell you that when you first put it down, you need to put it down a week later, and then 2 weeks later, and then 3 weeks later, you need to keep up with that.
Right.
Now, I've sprayed, and I've literally sprayed it across the road they walk down, because they prefer to walk down a road than across your grass. All right. Plain and simple. And I sprayed it once, and I was out there, and a deer walked up, and when she got over to the road where it was, she took a whiff of that and took her head and pushed it way back a few feet and hit one of them and said, oh my goodness, and turned around and walked away.
Yep.
So it does work, but it only worked for a while.
That's it. So yeah, just a little tip to help your garden stay deer free if you possibly can.
The best thing is to plant as much as you can deer resistant plants. That's the cheapest way to do this, unfortunately, but we all have our loves, right?
Or have a big giant deck and put them up on the deck, and then my wife just loves it when I fill up the deck with hostas. But anyway, that's another story.
My brother lives in Colorado, and their problem is elk as opposed to deer, and they've had them on the deck.
Oh, really?
Oh, I drove away from his house when I visited, and coming down the hill, I saw one bedded down on the deck.
Elk is the friendliest animal that size I've ever encountered. they're friendly. That's a good thing. We need to get back to the business at hand. Master gardeners are involved in so many things. I want to ask, I was driving around through town the other day, and I made the turn onto Highway 5 off of the main drag through town, right across from the sheriff's office. There's a beautiful display over there, but there were eyes staring back at me.
They do a nice job decorating over there, don't they? Those girls have been decorating that particular facility, I don't know, as long as I've been a master gardener. Julie Nazoliak is the head of that, and she does a fine job, and she changes it up, and she always has it colorful.
Yes.
It's a proud representation of what we do.
It is, and it's a great location. That's probably our busiest location. It seems like more people drive by that and see that. We get more comments on that one. But again, we have a bunch of pretty ones. The fair just got over with, and the one at the fairgrounds is also stunningly beautiful. And most of these, if you'll look at them, they have the plants identified. So if you go to them, you see something you like, then you can write it down and go buy it yourself.
Yes.
But the one at the fairgrounds, we were there for, we had a Master Gardeners had an entry or had a booth. And it was so much fun. People would come in and comment on how pretty it was.
Very cool. Maybe you can work on getting the booth out there at the same place the garden's at. Maybe putting somebody out there to greet all the people coming into the fair.
Not maybe when it's 90 degrees.
Another great idea.
just trying to be helpful. But it is so fun to see the actual results of your labors here in the community. It has to be, you guys are the ones that do this stuff. It has to be cool to see people stopping on by or get the comments on these displays that you have set up all throughout the Mountain Home area.
It's gratifying to see people recognize it and notice it and learn from it. That's what we do. It's helping others grow is what our aim is. And speaking of helping others grow, we're about to announce our speakers for the seminar in March.
All right.
We've got, CEO is one of our lead ladies that does this. And last year we had a fantastic seminar, fantastic record, as a matter of fact. And we thought, how are we going to back that up? Well, these girls have done even better. And some of the speakers, we're going to have Ray Morantz, we're going to have Don Bennett, we'll have Guy Ames, and Bernie Kurtz, and a lady named Dorina McKelvey. She'll tell you more about each one, but they're all lined up. These guys have now even gotten to where they're lining them up 2 years in advance.
Right.
So we have people,
some
of these speakers, you just can't call them in the last minute and say, come.
Yeah.
And so we decided we want to maintain this as a go-to event. And to do that, so we're booking them out a year or two in advance now.
Okay.
And CEO is one of the lead ladies on that, and I'll let her take over from there.
Well, I'm co-chair with Jane Druff and Marcia Taylor for the seminar. And this year we don't have much information yet except for the speakers. We have them lined up. Ray Morantz is with the Xerce Society, which is an organization that works to protect what they call invertebrates. In layman's terms, your pollinators. He's going to talk about beneficial insects 101. Now, that may sound like going back to school in biology class, but it's not. Y'all need to know which insects you need not to be worried about and which ones you actually need in your garden. Then we've got Don Bennett from Tricycle Farms in Fayetteville. He's going to talk about growing community through soil. He is a very interesting gentleman. I encourage you to go on the internet to his website and take a look. He is a gentleman that had some personal difficulties that he overcame, and the way he overcame them was to build a community garden in Fayetteville that now feeds the needy.
Oh,
all right?
Very cool.
And he's a very inspirational speaker, and he's a very knowledgeable plantsman. So
right.
Definitely somebody you'd be interested in. And then Guy Ames is with Ames Orchards, and he's a horticultural specialist for the National Center for Appropriate Technology. And he's going to talk about fruit trees, bushes, and vines for natural growing in the Ozarks.
Okay.
I think people will enjoy that. We all like to eat. And
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and then we've got a real treat. Bernie Kurtz, he is the new Janet Carson. His title is Arkansas State Extension Horticultural Specialist.
Okay.
If you've been to any of our seminars, you've heard Janet Carson speak probably every other year. And she retired last year, and he's taken over. So we're all going to get a chance to meet him and learn what he's all about. And then one of my favorites is this Daria McKelvey. She is a supervisor over that Missouri Botanical Garden in St. Louis, mm-hmm. and she's going to come talk to us on what that facility is and what it has to offer. They are a world-class horticultural botanical garden, mm-hmm. and display gardens are beautiful, great variety, mm-hmm. but they're also a great source for information about plants.
Right.
If you have a question about a particular plant, when you're sitting at the big box store and they get something you've never seen before and you wonder if it's going to grow here, and just because it's at a big box store doesn't mean it can grow
right.
here,
yep.
and you pull out your cell phone, if one of the options is Missouri Botanical Garden for a source of information, mm-hmm. look it up.
Gotcha.
Very concise display, good information, accurate information, and it'll tell you exactly if it's going to be able to grow or not. Now, they're a zone different mm-hmm. from us,
right.
but if it'll grow there, in all probability, it's going to grow here.
Gotcha.
So, and as Tommy said, we're working on speakers for the next 2 years, mm-hmm. and next month we'll have something to announce there, I'm sure. We found that two of these speakers we wanted to get this year, that they were booked out a year in advance.
Right.
So we went to the board last week and got permission to start booking ahead.
There
so
you go. Fantastic.
We're really excited.
Good deal. Well, we need to take a quick little break. We're running a little bit long here, so I need to tell everybody you're listening to the morning show here on Mountain Home Radio, simulcast live across all three Mountain Home Radio stations, KRZP 92.7, KJMT Mountain Talk 97.1, and KCMC Mountain Country 94.3. Going to take this quick little break. We'll be back to finish things up after this.
Friday, March 18th, the Yellow Summit Panthers will host the Clinton Yellow Jackets for homecoming. Come out and pack the stands and cheer for your Yellville Summit Panthers. Go Green. Listen live on KTMC Mountain Country 94.3 and Network1Sport.com to cheer on your Yellville Summit Panthers. Broadcast brought to you in part by Casey's General Stores, Knox Orthopedics, Ott Family Farms, Dozier & Associates, Culligan Water, and White River Auto.
Turn here, the morning show, Mountain Home Radio, 7:52 in the morning. It means 8 minutes to get where you need to be, whether it's work or school by 8 o'clock. Still a little bit of time to get there or arrive safely. I've got Tommy and Seal, the Master Gardeners, here in the studio with me once again this morning. It is always so fun. Wintertime is upon us. A lot of people think that, well, because winter has arrived and it's not yet wintertime, it's still fall. They just abandon everything outside. This is not the time to do that. We should still be outside working. There's a lot of stuff we need to get done behind the scenes.
Well, it's a great time to be out there because the weather's in your favor.
Yes.
Number one, it's not unpleasant to be there. Once everything goes dormant, absolutely take a look around at what needs to be pruned.
Mm-hmm.
When it's dormant is when you want to do it, so you're going to be out there in late November, 1st of December, or sometime in January. By February, it might already be too late because
yep.
it might start to be sprouting. Reminder, when you're pruning shrubs, take a look at them from the ground up. Take 1/3 of the thickest branches and cut them as close to the ground as you can.
Okay.
And then prune just for taste and appeal.
Gotcha.
All right?
Okay.
Your trees, take a look. Any branches, same thing with your shrubs, any branches that are crossing over each other,
yep.
you want to do that so the things aren't rubbing. Make sure there's good air circulation. Mm. Prune that way. And then prune for shape. Right? A lot of folks, you buy a tree cheap someplace and it's a little funky here and there. You don't want to cut more than 1/3 of the tree off when you prune. And so it might be a multi-year plan to shape it.
Okay.
But I promise you, if you work from the bottom up on the tree and start doing it with a plan in mind over several years, you will be rewarded. I have had people come to my home and say, God, the shape of that tree is so pretty. And I said, well, it doesn't happen by accident.
Right, yes. And then you say that so casually, trimming from the ground up. That was a trick that I did not know 2 years ago. And I had somebody in the studio that might have mentioned something about starting at the bottom of the trees and trimming upwards from there. Well, I'm over at my daughter's house here in town a couple of years in now, a couple of falls in. We have trimmed from the bottom up, and just the shaping of the tree has worked out tremendously well. So on a personal note, thank you for that tip a couple of years ago.
I've said it before. We also want to invite you to our meeting, Tom.
We have the best meetings. I will brag on them, and I think I've told everybody before. Half of our meeting is a speaker. Half of then we take a break for food, which we have fantastic food, and then we come back and do the business part of it. But our next meeting is with Brad Runzik, and he is our extension guy, and he's a fairly new guy. He's been here maybe about a year now,
I guess.
But he is a fantastic kid. He came. Mark Keaton was here before, and I love Mark. Mark did a fantastic job also. But Brad's brought his own set of ideas, kind of changed things around a little bit, particularly at the office, and maybe organize things a little differently. But he wants to get his hands dirty. He'll answer any question you have. He's a young gun, still got lots of energy. But anyway, don't hesitate. But he will be our speaker.
Okay.
And again, it's going to be about wrapping up your garden for the winter. So exactly what we just talked about. And our meetings are at the First Presbyterian Church, which is a beautiful church right across the street from Cooper Park.
Right.
They start at 11. Excuse me, they started at 1 o'clock, and you want to get there a little bit early, because if you get there early, you might get to snack on some food before you're supposed to. But anyway, but it's good fellowship. And again, you're going to find there's going to be guys and gals there that have an interest in something. If you're a roses guy, if you're a vegetable guy, if you're a perennial guy, if you're whatever kind of guy, you're going to find somebody that has a common interest in a good time. But we don't hesitate to come. Guarantee you we're friendly people and we'd love to have you.
You don't have to be a member to come. You don't have to join to come. Come ask a question. Come and come visit. Mm-hmm. There's always a few things that we raffle off for free. We just put your name in a hat. No ticket necessary, so it doesn't matter for Tommy.
There you go. And you've got some great information available up on your website. For anybody who wants to know about more about Master Gardeners, what you guys do, what you're involved in, there's a great website.
BaxterCountyMG.com. I encourage you. There's stuff about us. There's information, pamphlets and things on there that you can learn something, and if you have a question, get in touch with us.
Fantastic. All kinds of great information up there. It is a great resource if you're thinking about doing something outside. They've got some information available for you. Tommy Seal, thank you so much for stopping on by this morning. On behalf of Tommy Seal, Robert, and myself, thank you all you listeners for tuning in this morning. You've been listening to the morning show here on Mountain Home Radio, simulcast live across all three of our Mountain Home Radio stations. I am out the door, back with more tomorrow. Have a great day.